wishes are outcome-based and wishes are elusive because we don't have control over outcomes. Intentions are about us deciding to become the kind of people who participate in creating the outcomes we wish for.
Listen up, people. That's right. It's time to listen to the sparks of bliss in your life. I'm your host and life coach, Caroline De Posada from Miami, Florida. And this podcast is an invitation to join me in upgrading our mindset, wellness, and relationships so that together we create a life that unlocks our bliss. Join me each week as we explore practical strategies, inspiring stories, and the moments of clarity, or as we like to call them, los momenticos, that make the world a little more magical. Consider this your weekly dose of wisdom in your pocket. Are you ready? Let's do this.
Hey, listener, welcome to episode number 68 of Blissen Up. So today, I want to begin with a question that may be a little triggering to you if you have done this before. And I suspect you have, because I think we all do this. So I am not trying to call you out, but rather support you in living your best life. So just hear me out, please. Okay. The question is, are you using your intentions to guide your own ship, or have you been trying to become the captain of someone else's ship? Let me explain where this question came from. So, if you don't know, I am currently hosting a six-month live coaching circle called The Hub, and I've been sharing with my members exercises and coaching tools to help them create a life of intention. And one of the tools that I used was a life puzzle. And I invited my members to rate their 9 categories of their life puzzle. These are the 9 categories or the 9 puzzle pieces that help, when they're in alignment, they help you create a life of bliss. Okay. And I had them rate their categories and decide which ones they were going to focus on. And then I gave them a puzzle that they could customize for themselves. They could fill it in and they can use each piece of the puzzle. I'll show you a little. This is it, right? This is their little puzzle. They could use each piece of the puzzle to customize what they wanted to prioritize or focus on, or how they wanted to look at the bigger picture of the puzzle that is their life. And the members did this and it was great. But I had one who asked me a very interesting question. And it actually piggybacks off of last week's episode, episode number 67. If you didn't watch that episode, it's about the difference between wishing and wanting. And that shows up in this question. So this member was rating her categories. She was trying to customize her puzzle. And what she decided to do was that under each category, she was going to write some intentions so that she could be intentional in the next 6 months. Great. Except that she had this question. She said, I feel like my intentions are more wishes than intentions. How do I know the difference? So when I asked her to tell me a little bit more about those intentions, I understood what she meant by them feeling like wishes. The reason that your intentions can sometimes feel like wishes is because they are not about you. They are actually about someone else. This happens often when we are in relationships. We, maybe in our marriage or with our relationship with our children, we set an intention, but the intention is really about our child or our spouse or our boss changing, as opposed to setting an intention over what we have control over. What can we do to move our intention forward? And this can become a big problem because we have no control over other people's behavior. We have no control over other people's actions. And when we put our intentions and our desires in the hands of other people, we are so often disappointed. It just is what it is. So I'm going to give you a little example of how I did this in my life for a long time and how it blocked me from moving forward with the desire that I had. So forever, I've shared this before, I didn't have a systematic home and a decluttered home. I always felt like even if I organized my house, it fell apart very quickly. It got messy very quickly. And then what would happen was, you know, the wheels would come off and the house would get really crazy messy. And then I would call my girlfriend, who's a professional organizer, and beg her to come to my house and help me organize everything. And then we'd start the process all over again. But what I noticed was that when my house would feel the most chaotic, when I would feel like it was the messiest and the most out of control, I would always begin to organize and declutter in my kids' playroom. Now, this may seem obvious because the playroom was visible to the public. So it was, you know, it was in the main area of the house. It was one of the first things that you would see when you would walk into the house. So in my reasoning, it made a lot of sense to start with the playroom because if that were in order, then everything else should be in order. But what I was inadvertently doing was I was shifting the blame for the disorder in my home onto my children. I was making it more their problem and their fault as opposed to taking responsibility for what was mine in this situation. And I did this for a long time. I mean, the pattern would keep repeating itself. So it was always, oh, it's just, I have three boys. They're messy. They're disorganized. They're little. They leave everything everywhere. So I always blamed the kids for the disorder, the disorganization, the chaos. And then I would bring them into, so this is how I would do it. I would bring them into the playroom. I would sit down with them and I would say, okay, we need to become more organized. We need to become more systematic. So we're going to grab this bucket and this is for your cars and this bucket is for your Legos and this bucket is for your tools. And then I would have them sort everything and I would try to organize everything as best as I could. Pretty logical. I don't see anything wrong with it, right? There was something wrong with it. There really was. And I discovered it when I read the book by Marie Kondo, The Magic of Tidying Up. I'll put that in my show notes. When I read that book, one of the things it talks about is that in order to go through the decluttering process properly, there is a framework. And in that framework, you start with your clothes, right? And then she gives you these categories. First comes clothes, then comes yada, yada. I can't remember the categories off the top of my head. It's been a few years since I did it. But she talks about going through this order and how you, if you are deciding to tidy up, you are going to start the process with your clothes and your closet. And as I'm reading the book, she addresses this phenomenon of starting with other people's things. And one of the questions that she answers is, well, what do I do if I live with messy people? What do I do if my family members are disorganized and have too much clutter and have too much stuff? So she addresses this in the book. So of course, because I believed I was a victim of having messy people in my house, that was a very important question for me to answer. And I looked through it. And what she said was, this isn't about your family. This is about you. And you only have control over you. So start with you. So I obeyed. And I started with my clothes. I started to tackle my own closet. And what I realized was it was really hard. And it was way easier to address my kids' toys. It was way easier to live in the playroom where I could look at their things and tell them what they were doing wrong and tell them how they didn't have systems. But it was so much more difficult for me to sit with my items of clothing and ask the question, does this spark joy? Do I keep this? Do I throw this away? What am I going to do with this item? And one by one, start peeling the layers of my disorganization. Because I did that, one thing led to the next. I started with my clothes, inadvertently inspired my husband to do his clothes. Then I went into my bathroom. I don't remember the order that I did it. I'd be lying if I told you the order, but I went through her framework and through her order step by step by step by step. And what I noticed was that by the end of it, everything in my house was way more organized, even though the people in my house had not changed. Now, does that mean that my kids' rooms are as organized as mine? No. Does it mean that sometimes I walk into the playroom and I'm like, oh my God, this is becoming a disaster again? Yes. But fundamentally, I changed when I went through that declutter process. And because I changed, I handle it differently. I approach it differently. I help my kids differently. I understand the methodology and the system. And because I am more systemized, it is easier for me to help steer the ships in my home in the direction that I want to go. The key is to make it yours. So this happens to us in many areas of our lives. We have intentions for our marriage, but it depends on our spouse changing. We have intentions for our relationship with our kids, but it depends on our kids changing. We have relationships for our health, but it depends on our circumstances, not our non-negotiables. We have desires to take trips and have adventures and do things, but we place our intentions and our desires in the hands of other people. And then we feel like we don't have control. We feel like we are a victim of our circumstances. We feel like our life is happening to us, not for us. So today, I invite you to take a look at your intentions and see if you have removed the I from intentions. When you are looking at what your intention is for your life, how do I play a part in that? What is yours? I often talk about my core methodology: clarity, organization, resilience, and emotional intelligence. This principle of incorporating the I and intentions is one of the keys of emotional intelligence. It is understanding that you have radical responsibility in designing and creating your own life. And that the most important part of your intentions is the self-awareness of how you are participating in your own life. Intentions are different than outcomes. Outcomes are something we always wish for. So we wish for our kids to graduate from college. We wish for our bosses to recognize our hard work. We wish to be 15 pounds thinner, right? Like, wishes are outcome-based and wishes are elusive because we don't have control over outcomes. Intentions are about us deciding to become the kind of people who participate in creating the outcomes we wish for. Doesn't mean we're going to be able to control those outcomes completely. It doesn't mean we're always going to be able to manipulate our life exactly the way we want it. Oftentimes, life surprises us. Oftentimes, what we receive is an outcome that is even better than the one we wished for. So we get to be grateful that our wishes don't always come true. But intentions is about direction. It's about being the captain of your own ship and saying, I want to head this way. So if your intention is to improve your marriage, where is the I in that intention? How are you showing up in your marriage? How are you playing a role in your marriage? What are you doing to support your spouse? Have you looked in the mirror? What is yours? I learned this from Esther Perel. There is a theory that Esther Perel says is called fundamental attribution error. And fundamental attribution error goes like this. I am complicated and complex, and you are simple. So the example she used was, when you are late, it means you don't care about me. You don't prioritize my time. When I am late, it's because my circumstances got in the way. It was an exception. Life happens and you have a million reasons. When I do something wrong, it is circumstantial. And when you do something wrong, it is characterological. It says something about your character. Mine says something about my circumstances. That is the same thing that happens when we confuse intentions with wishes. It's fundamental attribution error. We are attributing fundamentally the responsibility of our intentions onto our wishes, when in reality, it's complicated. It's all complicated. So we get to focus on ourselves for our intentions. Looking in the mirror can be very hard, but it is the only thing you have control over. So, today, I invite you to explore your intentions. I invite you to explore what are the wishes that you have in your life, and how can you use your intentions to focus on you and steer your ship in the right direction. So that's all I've got for you today. I hope this has been insightful. I hope that from this point forward, you will always look for the I in intention. And I hope that you'll send me a message and let me know what this sparked inside of you. You can always reach me on Instagram at Caroline de Posada or at caroline@carolinedeposada.com. I love to hear from you, and I love to know how these little nuggets of wisdom help you make your life a little bit more blissful. Take care, and I'll see you next week. That's it for today's episode. Thanks so much for being here. I am deeply, deeply grateful for this time to connect. If you're loving this podcast, I'd love if you could support me by subscribing, rating, and/or leaving a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Those reviews help us so, so much. And if you know of someone who could really use a voice like mine in their head, please share this with them and let them know how much you care about their bliss. Now, if you are feeling called to dig deeper and really work on elevating your mindset, wellness, and your relationships to create a healthier, happier, and more meaningful life, then I invite you to schedule a 60-minute complimentary consultation with me. Let's have a meaningful conversation and see if working together is in our future. You can find the link to the calendar of consults right there in my show notes, but you can also connect with me on my website, carolinedeposada.com, or just send me a DM on Instagram, @carolinedeposada. Like my friend always says, the project is big and you're a part of it. So thanks for being here.